Welcome to Breakfast with Tiffany Show. My name is Tiffany Rosdell and I am a Tokyo-based transformational lifestyle coach. In each episode of this podcast, I want to explore the positive transitions other people have made to how they freed themselves from their struggles, what pushed them to overcome their difficulties, and how and why they felt like they could overcome. Breakfast with Tiffany Show is really all about the transitions everyone who wants to succeed makes and what they did to get there. As such, while the focus is on LGBTQ+ journeys, I want to share the stories of all people who have found their way to success. My hope is to have this platform for all of us to be together while listening to successful stories, amazing life experiences, inspirational journeys, as well as having good laughs and lots of smiles.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I introduce you to something quite extraordinary? It's the Breakfast with Tiffany Show podcast. And now, it is with great pleasure that I introduce you to your host, Tiffany Rosdell.
In an industry often characterized by traditional gender norms, have you faced any challenges or barriers related to your gender identity? And how have you navigated these challenges, if you did have a challenge?
Yeah, I think the biggest one is just being misgendered a lot. I think if I go into something that, like, if it's a feature film or something, usually there's a lot of preparation time and the director knows and, you know, like, most people have figured it out. But if it's like something like a commercial or a short film that is just kind of the standard gender norms, sometimes it is like a little bit uncomfortable because, you know, people will just be misgendering me a lot. I'm kind of shy, so I'm not one of those people that usually corrects people unless the environment is right. So I think that's one thing that has been, you know, a little bit of a challenge, but as far as I know, haven't faced much discrimination in the film industry so far, except for maybe misgendering.
Right. So that's very important. And I thank you for addressing that, Sam. And in terms of misgendering, how do you think we can prevent misgendering?
Yeah, I think it seems like the generations coming up underneath us are doing a much better job of introducing themselves. Like, they'll introduce themselves with their pronouns. I've tried to take that on as well. You know, like, oh, hey, I'm Sam, they, them. If the environment's right, I think the more that we acknowledge people's pronouns and that they want what they would, people need to be referred by, the easier it is to have that just become a natural part of the conversation, as opposed to putting it upon the queer person to, you know, make sure people know their pronouns. I think that would be like the most beautiful change, is if people who are hiring onto films, like producers and stuff, will ask that straight away. I think that would be really beneficial to just the psyche of queer people who are kind of tired of trying to fight for their proper pronouns to be used. And I know it sounds kind of silly, but it just is so beautiful. It feels like someone understands you when they use your correct pronouns. It's like, oh, thank you so much. Like, that means so much to me, like, that you are navigating yourself outside the gender norms to allow me to feel accepted in this space.
Oh, that's so beautiful. And I really think pronouns are very important. When it comes to using they, them, I honestly still have challenges when I used it. Mm. But I make sure that I correct it. If I say it wrong, and I would correct it. So, and I think it's the same thing with a lot of people, right? Especially cisgender people. The fact that a lot of them, they don't even understand why
why is it important to use the they them as a plural? Like, there's so much things like they say about it, right? Yeah. How do you handle this kind of situations?
Yeah. I think if people ask about it, I'm just honest. Like, I am not quite a woman. I'm not quite a man. I'm gender fluid. Some days I wake up and feel more feminine. And then some days I wake up and feel more masculine. And some days I just feel like neither, and kind of just this in between of both. So I found, like, if someone's willing to listen and just explaining to them, like, how important it is to feel accepted for these feelings that you have and that are a part of you, I think goes a very long way.
Absolutely. I want to share you, I recently went back to the Philippines because of my father passed away, right? And I think I told you about that. And in the Philippines, when people find out that you're trans, I think because with my look, I don't usually notice as a Filipino. They notice probably I'm a foreigner. And then when I start talking to them in Tagalog, which is the mother language of the Philippines, they suddenly like get surprised. And then if, for example, if I go to like a store or I'm talking to someone, like someone selling something, at the beginning they would call me ma'am. And then suddenly if I speak to them in Tagalog, they would think like, oh, they would turn that ma'am into sir. It happened to me so many times before that I just like, forget it. Like I always just like, whatever. But in reality, it really affected me because I am not a sir.
Mm-hmm.
I don't look like a male. So why would you call me sir? So I always had that in my mind every time I get that reply before. But now going back, when I went back home, I was able to address a few people. That when they started changing it, like I told them, excuse me, I'm not a sir, I'm a ma'am. I think it's important to address what we wanted to be treated, right? Because that's like a respect. And I respect people, of course. I respect them the way they want me. But in order for us to gain the respect as well, I think we also need to address them. Of course, not in like in a yelling or like you're making your voice scolding or yelling at them, but more of like, you know, nice way that they're addressing them and letting them know, I think is part of like educating them.
Yeah, that's beautiful. There is a certain like feeling of self-empowerment when you do speak up for yourself. I found the easiest way for me is like, sometimes people will start out saying they, them, but then like correct themselves sometimes because they're not sure. And I'll just be like, oh no, it's they, them. That's correct. And sometimes we'll, if it gets like too bad, sometimes we'll have to pull someone aside for a conversation, but it's quite a load on the psyche to have to feel like you have to redefine yourself every single time. So, but I'm very proud of you for speaking up and finding that inner power within you to be able to say, oh no, I'm not a man. You know, in what way am I a man? I think that's very powerful. And I think you're right. I think the more that we are kindly correcting people, the more that people will start to accept us.
Thank you, Sam. And that's what I noticed with my trans sisters or trans people that I know in the Philippines. They get that comment. Of course, it's not just me. Everyone gets that comment, the same thing. Mm-hmm. But what happens is like they just ignore it. They probably didn't like, ah, I don't care. But in reality, it really affects us like in a different way. So that's what's happening because the more we don't educate them, there's no education about us in the first place in the schools, right? So how can they even understand us if we don't start like letting them know how we have to be treated as a person, as a human being? So that's one way of, I thought, starting from now on, like, of course, being an advocate for the community. I really learned a lot from people like interview like you yourself. I learned a lot from them in understanding more about not just my identity, but also the LGBTQ plus spectrum. And also we still need a lot to do for us to be able to understand by other people, especially the people that doesn't, not part of our community.
Yeah, absolutely. And sometimes the work feels overwhelming, doesn't it? You know, to constantly be educating other people and But I sort of see it as like we're just lining up the future generations for success. That, okay, well, we have to go through this now. And, you know, we have to correct people when they use the wrong pronouns for us. But, you know, that's just setting an environment for future queer generations that allows them to be accepted. And I think I'm okay with that and taking the hit sometimes if it allows me to help those people out. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. This next question that I'm going to ask you, Sam, might be a little bit personal. So let me know if you don't want to answer that. And we can also edit that out on the podcast. But I want to also ask you about your personal life when it comes to your family. Being a non-binary, how did it go with your family? Did you have that coming out stories and stuff like that? So going back, so how was it like?
Yeah, I came out to my sister first, and I was actually so nervous, even though she's a very kind and accepting person. And for some reason, it was like the most nervous I'd ever been to tell my sister something. And I sat down on her front porch with her, and I was like, hey, I'm non-binary, and just told her. And she was so accepting and so loving. And she immediately asked me like what I would like to be called, like, oh, are you going to change your name? And I was like, oh no, Sam works, because, you know, it's already can be either. And, but yeah, just asked beautiful questions. Things like about my pronouns, like, what would you like to be called? And then as we had more conversations, she was asking like, oh, what would you want to be called if I have kids? Would you want to be an uncle? Would you want to be an auntie? Things like that. Would you want to be a third thing? So that one went really well. And the same with my younger sibling, who's unfortunately no longer with us, but it also went really well with them. And I think they were younger than me, so I think it was like they already had that understanding. And then it was interesting because a little bit later, they kind of came to me and were like, hey, I'm actually feeling that way as well. And we were able to talk through that and have this like beautiful conversations about identity and what that means. And yeah, so I am fortunate enough to have quite an okay coming out story, even though I was so nervous. Those closest to me, as like my sister and my younger sibling, like those people were just so supportive, and I couldn't ask for more. That was very beautiful. And I know it's not that way for everyone. And I mean, I have trouble coming out to some other family members or stuff like that. So it's like, you know, everybody has to take their time sometimes, I think. And just especially the understanding of like non-binary, it sometimes just like doesn't click with people. And I'm not sure what that is, because for me, I fully understand it because it's what I am. But I understand that some people need to take more time. So with others, there's like misgendering and stuff a lot. And I just kind of have to like politely remind them. It's like, oh, hey, remember that conversation we had about that was really difficult for me and, you know, that we had to talk about. So, but yeah, I would say I had also surrounded myself already with a lot of queer friends who I was very close with, and those who weren't were just a very supportive people. So I already kind of had that community set up. So when I did come out, it was a lot easier for me, I think, because I already had that community. So I didn't have to like change that as much. So
thank you for sharing that, Sam. I really appreciate your vulnerability. A lot of people doesn't understand like the coming out process of LGBTQ people. It's nervous, even up until now. Like people that for example, my friends or some people that doesn't know I'm trans, whenever I wanted to tell them that I'm trans, or some people that I have been hanging out with for a while but didn't brought up the topic about me being trans, for us it's always nerve-wracking to tell them that, you know, about our gender identity. And I think a lot of people doesn't understand that. And our coming out stories are very important. I really applaud you for doing that for your family. And I'm so happy to hear that your family are very supportive of you. Although, of course, there are families that probably didn't support you, but some of your family supported you for who you are, which I think is very important for you. When it comes to, I wanted to ask you about your work, because your work is often described as very emotive and enigmatic. Do you feel like your identity being non-binary influences your artistic vision and the way you approach storytelling through your cinematography or photography?
That's a really good question. I wonder. I think in some ways it does, because it's me behind the camera and I'm non-binary. So I think there'll naturally be a different perspective there from someone who's cisgendered. I haven't dove into like the fullness of that yet, but I believe that would be true. There would be something that's different coming from a non-binary person or a trans person, because they've, just from experience, you know, like everybody has their own experiences, and that's usually translated to visual images when you're a cinematographer. So I would imagine that my experience as well would be translated as well. So
there's so much I want to ask you, but I really want to be respectful of your time. So I'm going to ask you several more questions before we close the podcast. Sam, I think there's so much to talk about when it comes to the non-binary gender identity as well, because I did had a few guests in the previous episodes that I always learn a lot. And I think through these conversations, you sharing your experiences, you sharing your stories is very important. And also, we get to understand each other more as a community. So what advice would you offer to other non-binary individuals who aspire to pursue a career in the creative industry?
Yeah, I think that there is a place for you, that you can build and do things that you want to do within the industry. There are people out there that want to work with you and that want to hear your voice and your uniqueness. And there are people that will also seek you out specifically to capture certain stories. And I think just knowing that it's, I used to think there was like gatekeepers of the community, and there are, you know, but like it's different in some ways, that like you can still climb that ladder, that filmmaking ladder, and have your own unique voice. And that's what makes filmmaking the best it can be, is unique voices. I think the more we open up and the more we allow others with different mindsets into the filming community, the greater the impact, I think. So
absolutely. This is just amazing advice that you gave there. Thank you. And I'm sure a lot of non-binary, or even not just non-binary, like people who wants to join the creative industry, I think that's a great advice that you just gave. Sam, thank you so much for that.
Yeah.
Amongst your amazing connection, I think you have incredible connection as well, especially in the creative industry. Based from our conversations today, who do you think I should interview next?
Ooh, I know someone. I'll send you an email, because I think that will be a really great opportunity.
Oh, great. Okay, yeah. I look forward to that. Thank you. Fun question. One of my career before is a DJ. Mm. And one of my favorite things that I love doing, I love DJing, I love playing music. And I think all of us loves music. If you have one song that you would like me to play, what is it and why?
Let's say The Only Moment We Were Alone by Explosions in the Sky. That song changed my life. And it's was always the song I would go back to and listen to every time I was not feeling well emotionally. And it always brings me to like such a lighter place. It's kind of like a grounding song. So it's not very upbeat or anything, but it's very lovely and well composed, and I truly enjoy that piece. So,
is it a band? Is it like a...
Yeah, it's an American band. They're from Texas. And it's kind of like post-rock. No vocals, just just guitars and stuff like that.
Great. Okay, I'll check. I'll definitely check that out. Mm-hmm. One final, if you are going to go back to your childhood, what memories do you have now?
As far as music or?
No, as far as like in general, during your childhood days, what memories do you have now that you have?
Okay, yes. I would say my favorite thing to do as a kid was just play outside. And I have so many good experiences just being out in nature and enjoying the grass, the wind, playing with the garden hose, those positive memories of just that when you still have that exploratory mind and you're just imaginative and you can make up whole stories in your head, you know, you have so many imaginary friends and stuff like that. So I think those are my favorite times from childhood.
Thank you for sharing that, Sam. The conversations we had today are amazing. Thank you for sharing your insights and your experiences with us today. I think your journey serves as an inspiration to many, and we look forward to witnessing the continued impact of your artistry. And I can't wait also for the release of our film together. Sorry, like you can't see me now. I'm still I think my breaker came down. Hold up. Like, let me just pause for I'm just going to turn on my light. Okay, hold on. Sorry, Sam.
Oh, that's fine.
Can you hear me?
I can.
Can you hear?
Yeah.
No, my breaker cut off because of like too much. It's been cold today.
Oh, okay.
My heater was on the whole time. Breaker. Like, I thought it was a blackout, but then like, oh, it's only our house. I'm sorry. Dude, let me go back again to saying thank you. Thank you, Sam, for sharing your insights and experiences with us today. I think your journey serves as an inspiration to many, and we look forward to witnessing the continued impact of your artistry. And I can't wait. I really can't wait for the release of our film together, The Eastbound Traffic. And I'm really grateful, and it's been a privilege working with you. If people want to follow you on your journey towards your artistry, like the films that you do, where is the best to connect with you?
Yeah, my Instagram is probably the best bet. I'm very active on there and usually respond to people's questions and stuff like that as well. So
I make sure like we'll include that on a podcast show notes. But any final words before we close the podcast?
Yeah. Thank you so much for having me. This has been lovely, and I appreciate what you're doing with the show and, you know, the work you do in the community and the people you focus on. I think it's a very beautiful thing. So I'm very honored to be included in this.
Thank you so much, Sam. And I hope we can work again together sometime in the near future.
Yes, I hope so.
I really think that you're an amazing director. So thank you.
Thank you so much. Yeah. Yeah, I really hope so too. That was an honor to work with you. So
yeah. Okay, Sam, thank you so much. I reconnect with you and have an amazing day. And to all our listeners, thank you so much for listening. All the links will be provided on our podcast show notes. And until next time, thank you for tuning in. Thank you, Sam. Wait, hold on. Thank you so much for tuning in. If you reach up until this last minute of the show, I am extremely grateful for you for tuning in the whole entire episode. If you enjoyed our episode today, please share it to your friends. You can copy and paste the link wherever you are listening to right now. Text your friend, share on your Instagram stories or your Facebook page. Tag me on your social media when you post it. I'd love to hear from you. Share your thoughts on the interview that I had today. And if it's your first time here once again, please do me a favor to subscribe on the podcast. Leave us a review. In every review, it makes me so happy. So I'm looking forward to your ratings and review on Apple Podcasts. You can impact someone's life right now by just sharing our episode today.
I hope you enjoyed this episode today as much as I do, and I hope you know how much you matter, how much I appreciate your time for listening, how much I love you and appreciate you. I am truly grateful for your kindness and your support. And as I always say, sprinkle kindness wherever you go. I love you and stay safe and healthy.
Join us again next Tuesday for the Breakfast with Tiffany show with Tiffany Rossdale.